Ayla?
Ayla.
Ayla, sorry. Mm-hmm. Ayla Tolosa? Tolosa?
Yes.
Okay, sorry. From the Philadelphia Department of Public Health, and she'll be speaking about using targeted Facebook ads to increase condom use in adolescents.
All right. Thank you for that introduction. Before I start, I just want to give a brief Facebook 101, just in case there's anyone in the room here that's not familiar with Facebook. I'm going to be using throwing these terms around. And so Facebook likes, that's basically a way that a user can show that they approve or give their thumbs up to a photo, a comment, or a post. Or they can like an organization's page, and that's mostly what I'll be referring to when I say likes. And when they like an organization's page, they become a member of that fan base. I'm going to be talking about Facebook ads, obviously. This is a picture of Facebook ad, and it'll just show up in the screen's margin when someone is using Facebook. And this is a picture of our Facebook page. This is the wall, and the wall is the place where all those posts go, and people can interact and comment on things or like things. All right, so today I'm going to be presenting why we as providers should be using Facebook. I'm going to tell you our story in Philadelphia, the methods and the results, and then I'm also going to leave you with a take-home message. So first, why Facebook? Well, for starters, Facebook claims that there are over 800 million active users worldwide, and this number is projected to reach 1 billion in August. 75% of web users in America are on Facebook. 48% of 18 to 34-year-olds check Facebook right when they wake up. And 28% check their Facebook on their smartphones before even getting out of bed. 57% of people talk to more people online than they do in real life. And almost half of young Americans said they find out about their news through Facebook. Now, these statistics come from Facebook statistics and also onlineschools.com, and I put these up here because I wanted to show that Facebook is not just a fad, and it's not something that's just for young people anymore. This is how people are communicating and interacting, and if almost half of young Americans are finding about their news this way, then we should have a presence there and make sure that they're also finding about their STD prevention information this way, and that if we're not on Facebook, we're probably missing an opportunity. So let me tell you a little bit about Philly. While Philly is in the top 10 amongst large cities for STDs, this is not a top 10 list that we want to be on. Recent data indicates that teens who test positive for an STD are much more likely to get an HIV infection. This is a risk comparisons of high school students amongst large cities. You can see Philly, New York, and LA. And Philly is in the bright yellow, and it's leading in most categories. 63% of high school students have had sex, 15% younger than 13 years old, and more than a quarter of those have had sex with four more persons. And the more important part is that 37% did not use a condom during their last sexual intercourse. So this gave us the impetus to have an adolescent STD HIV prevention campaign, and here are some of the goals. But basically, we wanted to flood the city with condoms, make sure that anyone who needed one, every teen who needed one, could access one, or many, and also to normalize consistent condom use and foster an open dialogue with at-risk youth. We sparked interest in the beginning of our campaign with a condom art contest for the Philly-branded condom, and this was the winning design, the Freedom condom. We launched last April, and we got some positive press, along with some negative press as well, but it was okay because it drove a lot of traffic to our website, takecontrolphilly.org. So this is one of the methods that we used to let everyone know where they could find condoms. This was a teen-specific site, and they could find out safer sex information and STD information as well. They could also order condoms on the website, and they would receive an envelope, a discreet envelope like this, and inside would be 10 free condoms. And if you want more information on that, Matt Pryor has a poster session today at 5 o'clock. Now, we decided to use Facebook because we did a high school survey, and we found that almost 90% of our high school students were on Facebook. And we also thought that they're it would be a great way to foster some dialogue. I think that we began with the thought of if we build it, they will come. And that was not true. For a few months, actually, we had less than 200 fans, and most of them were providers or probably our friends who we told to like the page. And that's why we decided to do Facebook advertisements, not only to boost the fan base, but also to drive traffic to our website. So we had two identical ad campaigns, one in September and one in December. The important part was that we were able to target these ads. So Facebook allows you to select who the ads go to, and we had them go to 13 to 19-year-olds in Philadelphia. We had a budget of $3,000 per campaign, and the ads ran for 2 weeks for each campaign. These are the Facebook advertisements themselves. They all have the same text. It reads, Philly Freedom Condoms can be mailed directly to your home for free. Like us and get yours. And the image on the top was the most successful, received 90% of the clicks. So when a teen saw the ad, they would click on it. It would lead them to our Facebook page. This is our welcome page. It says, like free condoms, like this page. And then it would also hyperlink directly to the mail order page. I really like this slide because it shows how the Facebook advertisements with 3 clicks linked teens directly to taking action and having condoms being sent to them. And these are the results. This graph pretty much speaks for itself. This is condom orders mailed by month, and the dark line is total orders mailed. You can see we got a lot of press in April, and that boosted our condom orders, and then that huge drop-off, and then those beautiful 2 peaks are Facebook advertisements in September and December. Just some more comparisons here. The ads increased our likes, our website visits, and our mail orders. Increased our fan base by more than 14 times. Increased our website visits by more than 3 times on daily average. And mail orders more than 4 times on a daily average. The campaigns were had very similar results. 6,800 clicks. That means individuals who actually clicked on the ad. 2,500 likes in September, and almost 600 orders mailed. Very similar results in December. You can see slightly more successful. And here are the totals. So the ads gave us another 5,000 fans on our page. And 36% of the people that clicked on our ad ended up liking our page. And 25% of the people that liked our page ended up ordering condoms. This is the reach, so this is how many people saw the ads, individuals, 450,000 in the first ad campaign, another 100,000 in the second ad campaign. But the more interesting part about this slide is the social reach. And social reach is defined as when somebody sees an ad that has their friend's name on the bottom, or maybe multiple friends, like this says, Ayla Tolosa likes this. And the thought is that someone is a lot more likely to click on something if they see their friend's name on it. You have Facebook basically expediting the word of mouth marketing here. And you can see in the second ad campaign, 60% was social reach. And that might be why we had more success in the second campaign. So the ads also changed where the condoms were going. This is a map of Philadelphia broken down by zip code. And the darker the blue, the more condoms there were. And you can see on the left side, that's without ads. And on the right side, that's during the ad campaign. So obviously, during the ad campaigns, we reached a lot more of Philly and got a lot more condoms out there. Our demographics also changed. This is before the ads, and this is after. And I want you to focus right here on the 13 to 17 age group and 18 to 24. We went from 6% to 60% in the 13 to 17, 21% to 33% in the 18 to 24 age group. So now our fan base is over 90% between the 13 to 24 age group. And just going back to this, I wanted to say that this really shows the power of those targeted ads. So talking a little bit about the advantages of Facebook, I want to compare it to traditional advertising. For example, we put out a full-page Metro ad, the Metro newspaper in Philadelphia, and that cost us $6,000 for 1 day. And we, when we put out that Metro ad, we did see a little spike in our website hits and a spike in our mail orders, but we didn't know who saw that ad or how effective it was. And with Facebook, you really have the chance to see all those, all the information that I presented today. But also, we were able to have real time, see if it was successful or not. Those first ads that I showed you, within minutes we could see how much more successful one ad was versus the other. And you just can't do that with traditional advertising. And the measurable part of it also, you could see, when we were running these, I was updating almost every minute to see how the interaction that we were getting and how many clicks we were getting. And this, I think, speaks to the cost effectiveness of it. We spent $6,000 on that Metro ad. We also spent $6,000 on these Facebook advertisements. And obviously, this was a lot more successful. The other perk is the captured audience. So not only did people order condoms, but they also became fans of our page, which means that we could interact with them daily and show up in their news feed, remind them to order condoms, or talk about some safer sex issue. This is one of my favorites. I'm not going to read all the comments on here, but this just says, like the status if you think women should carry condoms, comment on why you think it's important or not. And this received over 130 likes, had over 30 comments, and we were really able to see what was going on in the minds of some of these teens and if it was normal to carry cons or not. And that's just one example, but we were able to really open dialogue that way. So here's the take home. There obviously is a huge amount of potential here, and we have just scraped the surface. We only had two short advertising campaigns, but had a huge amount of success. So the question is this replicable? And I'd like to think that it is, that if somebody used the same model in their program, that they would see the same success. And I think that there's already programs that have the opportunity to do this. We know that New York City has a huge following on their Facebook page. DC has a mail order program, and California just opened their mail order program in, I think, five counties in California. And the other question is it transferable? Does this go beyond condoms? Can we use this for vaccination, for testing, for treatment? We don't know, but I think that these results really call for us to explore that further. So I encourage all of you to bring this back to your programs and think about how you can utilize this potential on Facebook, and let's not miss this opportunity. So thank you very much. I'd like to acknowledge my colleagues, and I'll take questions.
Thank you. We have time for questions.
Taller here. Marissa Broadley. I'm a DIS from Rockland County, New York. So my question to you is, this is excellent, and it's very progressive, but my issue is confidentiality. It's, you know, the teenagers, or the, not just teenagers, but they're liking, they're ordering condoms, and they're asking questions. But I spend my waking hours protecting their privacy, and to make sure that their parents don't know they're having sex, their friends don't know they're having sex. So on Facebook, I'm concerned that they're writing comments about the fact that they're having sex, or, you know, et cetera. Now maybe they are anyway. But this is like you're actually putting a forum for them to write comments about that. So what are you doing to protect that? You know, so I'm concerned about that. That's what concerns me.
We've heard this as a common concern, and it definitely is an issue. And one of the ways that we've dealt with it is that we have a social media plan. If something, obviously, maybe even by liking this page or answering one of the questions, they're saying that they're having sex. And we can't really do too much about that and if their parents find out. But if there is something that is, if they're identifying, you know, that they have an STD or something like that, often we'll take it down if it's a little bit too personal. So I would recommend having some sort of plan. But I would actually, you know, challenge that, though, and say that I think it's important that we have this open forum. And you know, even if they are saying something that's confidential, they're recognizing that they're putting it on the internet. You know, and a lot of them do have fake names. Quite
right.
Funny ones,
mm-hmm.
also.
So
some of them. I mean, kids are smart, and I think if they don't want their parents to know something,
right.
You know, they're finding a way
now,
to do
and
that.
Now, if there is something that really does concern you, is there any way that you can track them? I mean, that they.
If there, I know that if there is something of concern of somebody harming themselves or harming others,
or that the fact that they have symptoms of something, that type of thing, in regards to STDs.
Well, we can send them a personal message. We can tell them to contact us personally. I mean, that's really as far as you can go on Facebook. But, yes,
okay.
We can contact.
Okay. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Annie Yang. I'm from Semtech Family Planning Clinic in Winona, Minnesota. And actually, this is kind of going back to the part where you said, is it transferable in terms of using it for screening and testing and things like that. We actually have a great program at our clinic where you can utilize free services if you fall within the certain income level, and we actually did our Facebook ads, and we had a really, really great turnout. But then we had to shut our ads down because it was based off sexual health, and so we had been reported. And I was wondering if you had any issues with that, with being reported. So we had to change our demographics to 18 plus.
We've had no issue with that.
No issues, and that's something that we had through Facebook. And maybe I'll have to try it again.
Could you explain being reported?
I think well, I don't know if it was actually reported, but I think someone had sent in a complaint that our issues were being geared towards adult issues. And so we had the age group of 13 to 19, but we weren't able, so we had to change our ad demographics. Right. So I was just wondering if you had that issue, and if you did, how you dealt with it. So.
We haven't had that issue yet, but now we'll figure out a way to deal with it.
Great.
If we do.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. We have time for one more question.
Hi, my name is Lorraine, and I come from Rutgers University in New Jersey. And we do a women's project out of the university, but it's dealing with high-risk women in the community. And similar to what the first woman asked is, how do you deal with possible negative comments that come up on Facebook pages? And do you also recruit or announce where you're passing out condoms on that page? I have a PI, and she's very reluctant to go towards Facebook just because she doesn't want to deal with IRB and that potential, you know, mess that may come with that.
Yes, that's a great question. So dealing with comments, one thing is that we do censor any swearing and things like that. So that's an automatic censor. I don't know if you know about that on Facebook, mm-hmm. but you can just type in all of the words that you don't want to show up on your page, and then Facebook automatically censors it. We also do monitor the page, though. So I manage the page, and we have a couple of other moderators. And if there is anything really negative, we'll take it down. However, sometimes the negative comments, depending on what they are, allow us to talk about it. You know, I know I didn't put that other the comments up for very long, but we had, you know, a lot of issues with people talking negatively about women carrying condoms. And it was great to be able to respond to that, but also have other teens respond to it and say, you know, what are you thinking? This is why we think it's a great reason that women should carry condoms. So I think that a lot of us are scared of what could possibly happen on Facebook. But there is a way to monitor it, and I think as long as you have a plan and you're prepared for it, it can be okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Very good.